here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and I think we ought to open up this one by bringing back an old favorite segment on our old friend Terry Bollea.
Terry Bollea?
Yeah. Do you remember the segment was called?
It was called the Hulk Hogan Bullshit of the Week. Week.
That's right. This week, Hulk Hogan Bullshit, and we never had trouble coming up with one. It was when he said he was partying with John Belushi. Problem was, he said he was partying with John Belushi about 10 years after John Belushi had died.
Right. What year was that?
Like he said, I was partying with him in 1991. To ask him, were you partying with the other Belushi, the brother, not John Belushi, with the brother, starts with the Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi.
We're sure it wasn't Jim. He said, no, John Belushi. But that was like 1991, and John Belushi, like 1981, died.
I have an answer for this.
Oh.
Okay. In 1991, late 1991, albeit, The Hulk Hogan was feuding with The Undertaker.
Ah.
So I could see how they get introduced.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
so that's a future guest, Paul Bearer.
We do have to have Mr. Percival Pringle on.
Yes, we do. But meanwhile, I think what we're going to do is, we recorded our last show right after, minutes after the Royal Rumble.
Yes, absolute seconds after the Royal Rumble.
Since then, what we've had is two Raws, one SmackDown, so too much to cover by actually
talking
about
the shows. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Oh, yeah. 5 golden rings. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it's too much to cover in one show, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk storylines and just give our opinions on the storylines now leading up to, what is it, we're 2 weeks out from the Chamber?
We are 2 weeks out from the Elimination Chamber. Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, going to be on Raw from Phoenix, Arizona next week.
Yeah, that's not one of the storylines.
It is, actually, because it would tie into the Undertaker-Triple H storyline.
Well, that's true. I mean, if it's setting up for him to be
the referee,
that's mm-hmm. actually a good point. And, if he's not hunting, what's
Stumpy
doing?
Stumpy.
Go back and listen to the archives for an interview with Shawn Michaels. Tremendous. That'll make sense. All right, but let's actually, what storyline do you want to hit first?
Well, they all suck. No, they don't all suck, actually. Well, why don't we start with, again, we just finished watching Monday Night Raw. Let's start with the opening of Monday Night Raw. Hunter Hearst Helmsley comes out. And so let's start with Undertaker and Triple H. Let's start on a high because, quite frankly, that was, we talked about it as we were watching. I said that may be, and then you said it was, and then they re-aired it the second time. And it was, in fact, the greatest piece of video footage or video packaging that WWF has ever created.
Which is saying something.
It is.
One thing that they've done over the years and just done an unbelievable job on is their video packages. They've had some incredible ones. This one tonight was at a whole other level. Just remarkable. Now, let's talk about the entire storyline. What do you think of the field we're seeing so far and the storyline? Give your Cole's Notes version and what your thoughts are on the Taker-Triple H feud build-up to Mania. Here.
My Michael Cole's Notes?
Your Michael Cole's Notes.
Okay.
So no. Let's not do that. I don't want them to suck.
All right. You know, I don't think either one of these guys are a vegan. They both own a television. No, I think that the short version on this, of course, last year with the video it's Sting. Well, no, it's Undertaker. Ain't No Grave. And everybody, they promoted that. I forget what it was in February. It's about this time last year. It was like February 13th or 14th or something like that where it was Undertaker coming back. And, of course, he comes out, Ain't No Grave, and everybody knew it was the Undertaker coming out. Not everybody, but it was perceived to be the Undertaker coming out. And it was like, okay, well, he's coming back. What's he going to do? And then as soon as the Undertaker got in the ring and his music stopped, and all of a sudden it was all about the game. And he come out and they do the stare down, no talking. And without any talking, Hunter challenged Taker to a match. Well, now last week we had, Hunter coming out just about to, just as I talked about right after the Rumble show, exactly how I said they should do it, they did do it. You know, I wish you all well in your gong. An Undertaker come out, and again, without talking, the great part, and I pointed this out when we looked at it, is that Hunter went from that smile of about to fire John Laurinaitis to immediately when Undertaker's dong hit, it was immediately...
Dong or gong?
Yes.
Both.
It was immediately serious Hunter.
Yeah.
And they did the staring up, but then, and then of course Taker now challenging Hunter for the matches, the flip side of it, and Hunter you know, pats him on the back, and now Hunter comes out and says, well, no, I, you know, basically, you're, look at you, you're old. I mean, you're too old. I saw you, and you're so old.
Basically, is that what he said?
That's basically, in a nutshell, what he said.
And I don't think it was old. I think it was you're too broken
old.
Down. No, you're too broken
down. So old.
And, you know, broken down.
But, because he's old.
Oh, okay.
But
well, he said he's old.
Then the greatest video package aired, where Taker's sitting in his palatial chamber, and there's videos of his old matches on the wall, and he's got the, just like a serial killer has, like, the newspaper clippings.
Well, the thing is, this was the third video package they ran in this segment. Because, I mean, the week before you had, obviously they open up the show with the preview package.
With the recap, yeah.
Right? And that is showing how Taker comes out and Hunter just hits him on the shoulder and basically walks out like, man, I appreciate the fact that you want to challenge me, but
what was Taker? What did
he
say Taker was?
What?
Do you remember? Oh, fuck, I was making fun of it at the time.
Sure you were. You were making fun of everything all night.
Yeah. With Vince. Remember I said Vince was in that guy's ear?
Oh, that's right.
Did he return or reborn? He was reborn or whatever the hell it was the guy said. He was like, rah, rah, and I was like, okay, that's Vince.
That's
right?
Vince talk. Yeah, that's Vince
fired.
But anyway, so, I mean, you had the idea was Taker challenges the guy, and the guy just basically looks at him and says, no, I no interest, right? Walks out.
I don't
this
have the goosebumps, basically. He said he used to get that quiver and shit,
right? He said, then he showed a video package of Undertaker beating everybody
at
Mania.
That didn't get my juices flowing.
No,
that's
just
the old video they've shown, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying that they showed that video, right? Hunter said, this is the Undertaker I want to remember.
I want to remember, right.
And then he said, this is the Undertaker after the last WrestleMania, and I don't want to see that guy again.
Right.
And that's the guy that had to be wheeled out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where Taker shows his video, where it's go on,
well,
he stays like the serial killer now.
Yeah, you're right. And that's good, kind of put it all in perspective background, but he's sitting there, in like a, almost like his corporate ministry, you know, what you would think. He has the hat. He has the original Undertaker hat on, but he's sitting in like a throne with fire around. And I said he's got that sort of serial killer newspaper clippings and stuff. But some of the stuff, what did he say? He said, my victory is meaningless.
Yeah.
You know,
I need vengeance.
I need vengeance, which I pointed out.
And I'll offer you
another chance. He said, I want vengeance, to which I looked at you and pointed, well, that's in late October, so you're going to have to wait a while.
Well, you could have
some patience.
And you have to be worried about the backlash.
Jesus, Mark, just have some patience.
No, it's
extreme rules now.
There is
no more backlash.
There's no more.
Well, now the Joey Styles is gone.
Well, I mean, he's not calling it anyway.
That's true.
But,
Many have some DLC.
Many of these jokes, folks, just for me and Addy.
Yeah.
Just for us.
But
trust me, it's funny.
I do think, though, that when he said my victory is meaningless. So basically, even though he won, he's not satisfied and needs to do it again. So now it's about the Undertaker's need for vengeance and to walk out of the ring this time. He needs to. What that video conveyed is that the Undertaker doesn't need to beat Hunter. The Undertaker needs to beat Hunter and walk out of the ring.
Exactly.
And
if I leave and this is my last match, this time I need to leave walking out with my head held
high. Well, it's not even that.
It's
just that victory isn't enough. I need to walk out.
Yeah.
And that's going to be probably...
I won the battle, but I lost the war.
But they
I don't want you guys to think of me like that either. And if you don't give me a chance to have that match with you again, and this time... walk out on my own power, beat you, and walk out, then you're forcing everybody to view me like that. Because
well,
that will be the last
time. It's not even, as you say, I can't have my last image, but he wasn't saying if you give me, it's not over. Repeated about three times in that
true,
video.
Yeah.
It is not over. And of course, we know it's not over, but the thing is, if they build this right and they do this right, the bigger pop...
It looks like they will.
The bigger pop... No, but I'm saying if they do this right, the bigger pop is not even going to be for the tombstone. It's going to be for Undertaker walking out.
That's true.
Because that's going to be the victory. He's going to beat Hunter, but the bigger pop is going to be for him being able to walk out on his own power.
Yeah,
assuming he gets to do it.
And I suspect what you're going to see next week is Shawn's going to come out there and say, Hunter, you got to face them again. Hunter, you can't.
No, no, no. Now they're going to unveil their secret plan.
Oh. No, I think what you're going to see is Sean's going to say, Hunter, you respect him too much to not give him that chance to walk out on his own power after facing you. Bring everything you have. Like, Sean's going to convince him now.
Well,
that's going to be part of Rashawn's role.
If Sean
and then it's going to come in, well, I'll only do it if you're a referee or something like that. But either way, this is...
Well, Pete's again...
This is much more than right now than Rock and Cena. To me, right now, this is my main event for Mania.
Yeah, this is the best build so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then this is... And I mean, this is enough. And I mean, right now, I mean, again, it's and shockingly, Triple H not a stupid man, but Hunter is doing all this and doing Shawn Michaels and getting this build of him and Taker. Rock comes on the 27th,
and
then it's the Rocky Maya Villa show.
Yeah, but right now, I mean, what you got is the performances are so good, not just the delivery. I mean, these guys, they're performing...
Special delivery?
S.D. Jones. And what you're doing here is...
From Antigua.
Without talking, conveying a storyline. When they talk, they convey the storyline, but if they don't talk, they're conveying the storyline. You understand what everybody's doing. I think this should maybe get to... Do you want to move on to the Elimination Chamber in the next one?
Going to move on to our good friend Chris Jericho.
Okay.
And you were talking about how, because you kind of segued to not talking and it working. And, you know, and I talked last show about Jericho not talking and it not working. Well, essentially what's happened is that in that last week on Raw, with no talking, Taker and Hunter.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, Taker, Triple H, explained himself on Raw to open this week's Raw, but last week's Raw. Triple H comes out, about to fire John Laurinaitis. Undertaker comes out, looks at the thing, talks about. We knew the whole story as to what was going on. Taker challenge, Hunter saying no, right? With no talking.
Yep.
Right? When Jericho come out and did no talking for whatever it was, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and said it's the end of the world, you know it, no one time, so he said one line in a month or whatever. We had no idea. But there was no, I need to know. You know what I mean? Like, there was no, I want to know where they're going with this. It was, if you're not going to talk, you still have to convey a story. And Jericho didn't talk, thought he was being clever, and did not convey a story.
See, and this is the thing was, at the time, I thought to myself, what he's doing here...
Yeah, but what happened?
Okay, well, I'll get to it. What he's doing here is he's presenting a new character, a guy who glad hands to the hands and acts totally like a face, but is actually a heel, and it's kind of making fun parodying the over the...
Kurt Angle, yeah.
And Kurt Angle, but to another level, or Kurt Angle, or like you said, the Blue Blazer, but even to another level, and parodying, in some degree, parodying Cena's worst qualities of his character.
Right.
But... So I had no problem with it, because I thought that was a storyline. Then it became obvious that it wasn't, and I'm waiting for it. Now, tonight, for the first time, he really talked. So let's move on to the Elimination Chamber on Raw, the six men that are in that chamber, and kind of the storyline of what they built with it tonight. And largely what they're doing is not building the chamber. They're building the Mania Punk versus Jericho match.
Well, I was going to say that it all kind of spills around. Everybody else in the chamber at this point are filler.
Yeah.
For Jericho and Punk.
Yeah.
Jericho winning the six-pack challenge tonight, and is going to be the last person released out of the pods in the Elimination Chamber, essentially the 30th man in the Royal Rumble type spot. So he's the last guy. He's going to be the freshest as a daisy, as it were, in the chamber. So, you know, there's lots of possibilities there.
And he stole and the storyline of the match was that Punk hit his move on Ziggler.
Right, to go to sleep. Ziggler, right?
Ziggler took the pin.
Kofi couldn't
have. Different. Yeah, no, so anyways, hit the go to sleep. And yeah, you do. Actually, you probably do if you need people to believe that he deserves to be in there. That's one thing that these Elimination Chambers, both of these, have done to me, is really... highlight the lack of depth of even upper mid-carders, nevertheless main eventers, on both Raw and SmackDown. I mean, they have struggled to put in six guys that you think are credible into those
slots. I don't think so.
I do.
I don't think any more. Is Kofi any more or less credible than last time he was in? Or every other time he was in?
I think the difference is...
Because we tracked it, and Edge took him out twice, and he was in at least once. So this will be Kofi's fourth Elimination Chamber at least.
Well, I think the thing is that, like, 3 weeks ago, he's losing in 2 minutes to The Miz, and he's losing in 2 minutes. Like, he lost while he was had the tag team title.
Okay,
he lost
but
several matches.
Here's the thing. Let me finish.
Well, the thing is that how it should be is that you should say, here's our Mania matches. Okay, now, book backwards. Here's our Elimination Chamber. Who are the six guys that are going to be in there? Okay, let's build them so they're strong heading into that. And so it should have been in September, they should have been going, if Kofi's going to be in that, building him strong to go into it. Instead, what they're doing is, oh, we need a sixth guy. How about Kofi? He's been losing. Let him beat The Miz, then he'll be over.
Assuming they didn't book the Elimination Chamber 24 hours before.
I'm saying they did, is the point.
Yeah.
And that's what sucks. And that's where they're doing it wrong. And that's where they're showing their lack of depth and lack of booking ability.
Part of it, too, I mean, you look at without injury, Alberto Del Rio goes in instead of Kofi.
Okay, fine.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to, you know, play devil's advocate there to say that does give it a little bit more depth. But again, part of it, maybe even without the depth, is Kofi. Kofi plays. I mean, even if Kofi to them, if Kofi isn't your serious winning person, Kofi kind of, again, we talked about the Rumble, we don't need to hire John Morrison. Well, is Kofi still Morrison's Rumble Thunder? Will Kofi then steal Morrison's Chamber Thunder? Remember Morrison had some of those moves in there, the Spider-Man-y type, you know, Rob Van Dam type
moves.
Kofi is possible to do that, and in turn, then...
But here's the thing, Adam. I'm not saying...
It's Addy.
Addy, I'm sorry. Who was I talking to there? We'll have a story later on about Adam. And the key man of Powers of the Universe.
Yes.
But we have a couple stories that are pretty damn funny to end the show on. But the thing is, Addy, I didn't say that Kofi didn't deserve to be in there. What I said is that they should have been booking him. Mo.
Oh. Wait.
So I'm saying what they did is they should have been booking him in a way to build him up to the point where he's credible to be in there.
Justin.
He's just in Portuguese. This is, like I say, this is a failure. I mean, I went on their website, and I rarely do that. I went on the website because I saw him in there, and I saw, you know, Kali and the other one. And I went, they can't come up with somebody better. And then I looked at the rosters.
They can't
come up with somebody better. That's what's scary. I mean, Kevin Nash is still on that rosters page as an active WWE superstar on the Raw page. Like, they got nobody. They really don't have any depth at the upper
and Nash with Elimination Chamber experience.
That's right.
At that SummerSlam.
Yeah. It's really, really pathetic. I mean, you struggle to find 15 guys who are credible across the entire company right now. That's pretty damn scary.
Well, yeah, but I don't know that that's been, you know, any less.
Okay, look at WrestleMania 4. You had 14 men in a tournament. And then you had a bunch of other guys who were credible still in a battle royal, and you had another credible two people who were in the IC match, and you had four more credible people in the tag team.
Well, let's look at the 14. The 14 men in that tournament involved Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Natural Butch Reed, and the One Man Gang.
I'm not saying they're the greatest ever, but they were credibly booked to lead into it. Is the point. People could picture maybe.
It's a different era with squash matches, though. You could credibly book more people with the squash match.
I disagree.
No, because back in 1988, when you had Superstars and Wrestling Challenge, it was Dusty Wolf against the Ultimate Warrior, and it was, you know, Steve Lombardi against Macho Man Randy Savage, and it was, you know, Chris Duffy against Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Let's look at, what was it, 1998, that they had the tournament that culminated in Survivor Series, where The Rock...
Deadly Games.
Again, you were able to come up. The amount of credible people on the roster was ahead of where it is now. That's my entire point. Is the roster depth is poor, not because of the talent, but because of where they place them. You take someone like Great Khali, and they look at it and go, "We need an extra person." And they look at it and go, "The Great Khali," and see where I would be looking is going. It's too bad you've ruined Tyson Kidd, because I think the audience would rather watch Tyson Kidd in that match than the Great Khali. But this is where they're still way behind the times.
No, they're not way behind the times. They're just they think differently, and they've always thought differently, and they always will think differently. There's really been no time where Tyson Kidd would be pushed above the Great Khali. Like, even in that early Attitude Era, that late sort of 97, I mean, okay, Tyson Kidd is a bad example because if Tyson Kidd was around in 1997, he would have been part of the Hart Foundation and it would have been a different story. But, I mean, if Tyson Kidd was John Smith and just, you know, out there, Scott Putski, then there's not going to be a time.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say, though, is I don't think that there's a lot of reason. I think Daniel Bryan is better than Tyson Kidd, but I don't think there's a lot of difference between the skill level in every factor of Daniel Bryan, who's their main event world champion, so to speak, on the SmackDown roster, and Tyson Kidd. I think the difference is he's given the opportunity more so than that he's that much better. He is better, but not a lot better.
But Trent Beretta could be great. We don't know it.
But we know Great Khali can't be.
Well, that's true. And that does, I mean, if we want to move on to the SmackDown side of the Elimination Chamber, that really perplexes me as to why he's back. Because you say, you know, isn't there somebody better than Kofi? Okay, yeah. You can make your case. But when you say, isn't there anybody better than the Great Khali, yes.
Well, again, yes, that's where it really gets to the point that I looked at the SmackDown page. I'm like, I can't see anybody I can throw in there. Like,
I would throw Nash in, to be honest. I would. No, really, I would throw Nash in because it's the same.
To some degree, I think you're right.
But there's somebody that could at least talk, and there's somebody that, I mean, I look at Nash as better, I guess, is the best way to put it, than Khali.
Now, I mean, I look at, again, you talk about how it is a little bit more of an intriguing chamber in the SmackDown because you talk about how there's only two men that matter. Everybody else is filler in the Raw one.
Yeah.
There's a couple different storylines. They did something tonight. Let's talk about their build for the SmackDown chamber tonight, starting with the tag match and what they did there. Go ahead.
Oh, Khali pinned Cody.
Yes.
Khali pinned Cody, and I guess the story of the match was that Khali and Randy Orton were partners, but apparently I was called in order to book this match because these partners should not get along with the Elimination Chamber happening. We need to have tag team partners that do not enjoy each other's company so that the fans will know.
That's a good idea, Mr. Russo. I mean, nobody's ever done that before. When did you come up with that?
I originally booked that angle in 1922 and have used it semi-monthly ever since.
And, of course, because of that, the ratings through the roof?
The ratings, I have to tell you, Mo, well, first time, the 85th time we did this angle, we were on the cover of USA Today.
Oh, and Great Khali, do you think he can get over, though, because his English isn't that good?
The Great Khali is one of the greatest wrestling minds. If you were to ever sit down and talk to the Great Khali, the first time I saw the Great Khali come out, I said, that is a star.
All right, thank you, Mr. Russo. Now that I kicked him off the line again,
oh,
Andy, let's get back into it.
Fuck, that guy's annoying.
Yeah, no shit. But anyway, so Orton, RKO's Khali at the end. I mean, it looks like maybe they're building Khali again into a heel.
There's your Mania match.
Don't. Remember, he said that he didn't want to work with them, didn't he? Or that,
no, that was Henry.
I think it's both of them. They had talked about when they first put Khali with Jinder Mahal all that long time ago that they were going to turn him into a monster heel again. This was the way to do it. Unfortunately, then they soured on Mahal. So, I mean, you know, I mean, that's kind of why.
Only to kind
happen.
Of pick him back up again. I mean, I
yeah,
don't know what they're
strange.
Kind of. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, to him, Khali being the.
A monster heel?
No, but the. Well, the monster bodyguard.
Yeah.
That just come in and do a stupid chop.
But
whatever,
I mean, is
right?
that what they're going to do now? Are they going to make him a monster heel again?
I honestly don't claim to have any insider knowledge, but I would need to defer to Mr. Meltzer.
Who?
Yeah. To I assumed Khali was just a one shot at the Rumble.
I thought so too.
But now here he is. So, like, I don't know, is he back full time? Does he have a contract? Like, what's going on, right? So,
or is it just because Mark Henry can't work out? Let's get into that a little bit, because you mentioned something to me tonight I didn't know that you had actually gotten from Dave Meltzer.
Or Powell or who was talking about this. But
okay, somebody,
I didn't hear
these other websites.
They're talking
websites
about how
they know more than us.
That Vince was pissed at Henry because, well, I mean, Henry has had the reputation over the whatever 97 years he's been with the company for being soft, right? For not wanting to work hurt and not really having his balls into it, his inspa into it, and
which is strange because when you have him screwing an 80-year-old lady and then gives a hurt to a hand, it's hard to believe that he wouldn't show up to work.
Why don't you want to come to work? Christ, I got some Geritol here and I'm ready to see the ladies. So let's go to work. But no, I mean, that's apparently and I mean Henry has been hurt a lot, and a lot of Henry pushes has had to been well right now, but I mean
over the years,
and a lot of pushes that he was going to have been stopped or halted or not started because of
some
the
of them
injuries.
Have been legitimate serious injuries though.
Well, I think probably all of them.
Real bad, remember?
I think all of them. Yeah. I don't know that Mark Henry is been faking it. I mean, I could have seen it when he was with the Sammy and the Mae Young and the Hand and stuff. I mean, if you're ever going to not want to come to work and have an injury, well, that would be the time, right? But,
yeah.
I mean, you think about, he's been with the company. I mean, they say he signed in 96 and he debuted there in the pay-per-view in 97. So that was 15 years ago almost, 14 and something years ago. And...
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Okay. 2011. You said 96, right?
12. It's 2012.
Okay, hold on. Then I have my hands. I got feet. I'll wait. I'm going to do some math here. Okay? Wait. This is how you do this. Okay, so that's 2001 to 2012, right? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right?
11, 12.
Okay, so that's 11, 12. Okay. And then how many years before that you think? And then what you do is you take that 12 and you count backwards. 2000 to 99. That's 1. 98. 97. That's 3. So we have, what do we have before? 12? So then all we have to do then is you add 12 and 3. So what's that?
What? That's 15 years.
You got it. That's 15 years he's been with the company. See how I did that? Do you want me to explain it again?
So his pay-per-view debut was February of 1997?
That's what you just said.
No, I didn't.
All right.
I said
anyway.
He'd been 14-something years. Fuck stick. Because he debuted it at what? At Ground Zero in your house. September what? 3rd. What? 19 what? 97.
What?
It what?
One beer.
What? So there you go. 14 and something years, jack off.
All right. So anyways, move on.
I work at a bank.
You work in finance.
I am the bank. No. I'm just saying.
Tell me, is there money in your bank?
But my whole point for Mark Henry was I'm trying to realistically figure out how many years of those 14 and something that he actually worked. Like, he was gone for most of what? He came in, he hurt himself at that Survivor Series, that one I lied. He came out in 96.
That's what I said.
You 96? Said 97.
What?
We were going with 97.
What?
So he's 15-something years.
That's what
almost
I said.
Almost 16.
Okay, wait, this is how you do that math. It's 2012, right?
Okay. I'm listening.
Okay, what you do is I got 20.
No,
games,
I
20
said,
goes,
but my whole thing was 97 and in your house goes. Ground zero, but it couldn't have been.
Wait, oh, you're right. Anyways, we're losing track here. This is why we end up doing 7-hour shows.
Right.
So anyways, let's move on. So he has a reputation for working
he's
hurt,
black.
And now he's legitimate. So he worked hurt over the last several months to the point where he can't work anymore legitimately.
Right.
He's kind of beat up to the point where he has to sit out the elimination chamber.
Yeah.
So now he's in trouble for working hurt.
No, well, it's again, Vince thinks he's soft. So Vince is kind of getting on him because Vince is looking, and that was to my point, is how many of those 15-something years has Mark Henry actually worked, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's because he's been hurt for year-long stretches. I remember him coming back at that SummerSlam 99.
Well, he had
a
stretch where he was working for Cornette as well, where he was actually getting trained out of work.
Well, he went down to OVW.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did do that. He was down there. But I think that, again, he won. Well, part of it was injury rehab. Some of it was losing weight. But anyway, I mean, on the Raw, like, in terms of hurt. So Vince, I don't want to say Vince has a point to say that he's faking it, but I mean, you know, you get a reputation, and sometimes you legitimately get a reputation. I think this is one of those legitimate, he gets hurt a lot reputations. Now, why does he get hurt a lot? That's a different story. But the fact is, he is hurt right now, and that's too bad because they were giving him such a push. But Vince being really hard on him, and there's something there.
But maybe, but we're talking about, okay, I
that's what I. That's where we were going with this 15 minutes ago, is that there's something 15 there.
15 minutes ago? Okay, yeah. let me do the math for you.
Okay.
Okay, so show's 31 minutes long.
But there was there's something there to Vince saying that he's soft, and Vince kind of, I don't want to say souring on him, but Vince, so I don't know that necessarily, you know, Henry's guaranteed a Mania spot.
What, okay, all I'm saying is that there are certain people that are actually legitimately more fragile than others. Like in football, I always say to people, okay, I mean, Michael Vick will be great for those 12 games he'll play, but he'll never play 16. Some people, they just, I mean, and I think when you look at Mark Henry's body type, while it gives him great strength, his shape of his body and the wear and tear on his bones from moving around and doing things is just more difficult because he's a stocky guy with such great weight despite his power. I mean, I think it's
tear your tricep jogging.
Share your tricep job.
You know who else was fragile?
Dave Bautista.
Daniel Benoit.
He was fragile, according to Linda McMahon.
Yes. That is true. We can ask her about that when she's on.
Next time that she's on, yeah.
But, no, there are guys that get hurt a lot, and I mean, some of it, yeah, right. I mean, he's a big framed guy like you. And except for he's strong. But it's, you know, I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. I mean, he was so successful in as a champion. It had such a good run. Hard for me not imagine that. And you never know. They might decide they need. But you know, I mean, maybe if they think they can get Conley over to the same degree, if they think for some reason that can happen, right.
But they can't.
They don't need him.
Because
no, I know they can't.
Most of Mark Henry were those deadly serious Hall of Pain promos.
Yeah.
And Kali obviously isn't going to cut those.
No.
But, I mean, so what do
Kali,
you...
Kali, again, needs an American spokesman. And this time he needs an American spokesman. Somebody that people can get...
Jim Cornette?
Yes. That would be awesome. But somebody like that. Somebody who can get legitimate heel heat with an experienced manager.
Vicky.
Vicky would be a good example. I mean, I don't really know who else is out there. I mean, it's obviously something that's not in the business now. I would think if you were to take a guy who's a former wrestler who has a good talker.
Shaky.
And make him somebody who's a good talker.
Shaky.
Who is a good talker.
Shaky.
And make him his
humble
manager, somebody who's in the back or something like that. I think that's your best
bet. He
did
wonders for the Sultan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shaky and Bob Backlund could come back and manage the Great Khali.
Shiki has been on fire on his Twitter lately.
Book
dude.
It. Really?
Awesome.
Is that actually his?
I don't care. Whoever's tweeting these things out for him is funny as hell.
It's fucking funny. Okay. Well, okay, so we got through there, and we were talking about the chamber. I mean, what I said to you was, Jericho and Punk seem clandestine for WrestleMania. The thing is with the SmackDown chamber, I mean, I looked at that when they put the people up, and it's Big Show, it's Great Khali, it's Daniel Bryan, it's Cody, it's Randy Orton, and it's Wade Barrett. Mm-hmm. Right now, of those, like when I'm looking at talking about the road to WrestleMania, which is, you know, again, not really going to be clear again until after the Chamber, but I mean, it's got to be Bryan and Orton. I mean, what is it, Orton and Barrett again?
And this is where, let's talk about the other two members of that SmackDown match tonight. The Big Show and Daniel Bryan, they competed against each other. What happened in that?
They competed against each other.
Yes, they did.
And Daniel Bryan...
who's a vegan, by the way.
I am still a vegan!
But awesome.
Daniel Bryan, I mentioned on the post-Rumble show, you know, I started to think of him as a lot of Owen Hart and his promos. Well, this time he took the other greatest wrestler of all time and took AJ, wearing a neck brace,
his girlfriend,
reluctantly, who loves him, reluctantly come down to ringside, and Big Show...
She'd been smashed by the Big Show before, that's how she
Yeah, he ran
right
over the Big Show because he's reckless.
He's clumsy.
Clumsy, and a bastard.
Yeah.
But he then what happened is throughout the match, blah, blah, you know, they go through and the final spot is Big Show almost runs AJ into the steps. So Daniel Bryan grabs her and takes her to the back and pulls out the Macho Man Randy Savage card, where he's pulling AJ in front of him and using her as a shield and just being a dick, but more like Randy Savage was an obvious dick.
Yes.
Right? Where this is still a cowardly heel dick move that he's doing.
Yeah, so the way he, like, Randy Savage was like, so you can't beat the hell out of me, I'm gonna pull Elizabeth in front of me. Whereas Daniel Bryan is more like, oh my god, she's in danger, you almost hit her again. Come here, I'm gonna pull her away so you can't get to her. And the fact that she's in front of me and you can't hit me while I'm doing it is almost by accident. Because really what I'm doing is I'm pulling her away for her sake. I'm using her, and he's and you had said that they're gonna should turn her heel, or they gotta turn her heel, and I said no, it works better if Daniel Bryan is the heel and he's manipulating Show and her. He's more of a prick for eliminating this naive young woman who loves him, right? And that's part of the gimmick that makes it so damn good.
Well, it is, and you're right. I mean, I looked at it, I said, well, she should go heel, and I thought she kind of was with the neck brace. She just kind of looked, you know, like I was thinking it was, you know.
Yeah, she was just ringside doing all that great
acting.
I know,
but I mean, all that swerve.
What would you rather have, the great acting of AJ and Kelly, or that is actually no acting at all, no ability to portray emotion, or the really shitty portraying of emotion of Eve?
And Kane.
We'll get to that. That was their main event. Maybe it'll be ours, too.
But basically,
Daniel Bryan's having this match with Big Show. It's
like
kind of a big match.
On a good note.
But, yeah, exactly. Well, we'll finish on something else, then.
Yeah.
Like your mom. But anyways, did I say that?
Just wipe twice.
That was rude.
Daniel,
yeah, so, I mean, this time when Big Show almost runs her over, and say Daniel Bryan pulls her out of the ring, he just walks out with her, and then he cuts a promo on Big Show saying, you know what, what was it he called it? He said, you're a giant freak, you're not much of a man, don't you know, I'm world champion, and do you want the belt that bad? I'm a vegan, but I wouldn't even do these, you know, just basically.
Well, see, but I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at, obviously, there's Sheamus, right? Sheamus is the X Factor. I'm looking at the chamber, right? And you're not going
to
have Sheamus against Orton.
No.
That just doesn't make really any sense. So it has to be either Sheamus against Barrett or Sheamus and Bryan. And Bryan is the hot heel right now. See?
But this is the thing they've announced for SmackDown. It's Orton versus Bryan, right? And you're like, well, then what do they have for Mania? The thing is,
I forgot about Sheamus when I was saying this, though.
Yeah, but the entire storyline is still being built up, not just for Chamber, but going into Mania, I don't think we're going to see Shaq versus Show. You know, I don't see any evidence of that. I don't see any evidence.
Well, you don't pull the trigger of that until that live SmackDown on February 21st, 2 days after Chamber. That's when you pull the trigger on Mania.
Then at least you start to show signs of turning, or something.
But Floyd Mayweather came out on that pay-per-view.
But at least, like I say, at least you show signs of turning Show now. They're not doing anything like that. Like, the entire storyline is Daniel Bryan. Well, it does. It has to be.
Unless it's a tag match.
It could be. But either, yeah, that would be awesome. What we should get is Kevin Nash and Great Khali versus Big Show and Shaq.
Shaq and Show.
Five-star classic.
There you go. But no, I mean, but really.
But yeah, the storyline is still Show and Bryan. That's the storyline leading into Mania. That's the storyline they're building.
See,
that's the storyline that has momentum.
I don't think it is. I think the storyline is...
They furthered it tonight.
No, not really. I think they furthered...
Yes, they did.
I think they furthered Bryan. I don't think they furthered really this... That story, you can blow off any time, and it's just, you know, Bryan... And let's look at it this way. If you want to blow that off on March whatever 9th,
like your mom.
Let's say... Yeah, like I do with your mom, yeah. On March 9th, then on the road to WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan has beat the credible former champ 500-pound Big Show, right? And you're moving on. So, I mean, I don't know that that's necessarily WrestleMania, unless you do a Four Corners then. Like,
well, that's
what?
The thing. I mean, we know that we're going to have Punk versus Jericho, really. I mean, it's looking to me like Jericho wins the title at the Chamber.
Yeah, stupid, but I guess.
Well, not really. He's the last man in, and then you have Laurinaitis screw Punk by putting him in first somehow.
Yeah.
Right?
Which we get to next is Lornais, the board of directors, of course. They're not going to...
Yeah, I just want to say, though, I mean, the thing about... We're talking about... I mean, you're talking about Sheamus. You can't say three-quarter or three-man match or the triangle match, four-corner match. You can do all that, but you also could throw him into the Punk versus Jericho thing, too. I mean, they
were the last two in the Rumble, right? I mean,
yeah.
But I would think it makes... I mean, I don't know that you fuck with Jericho. I don't know that Jericho and Punk let their match get fucked with. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they may not have creative control over exactly what they're doing, but I would think that they're able to kind of say, you know,
I don't know that Sheamus being thrown in there would fuck with it, because Sheamus is over and he's good. And you know, I mean, I think if they respect him enough and they can work it in, that's a different thing. Now, let's talk actually about the promo that Jericho had with Punk for a second, because we never really went into that.
Nope.
This promo from Jericho was not all that great, and I didn't think, for most of it, he's finally talking. He's basically saying everybody's a wannabe, because everybody copies him. The Kofi copies him, because he does all these great, crazy moves, and he says, oh, I used to do those, and, you know, Vicky comes to the ring with Ziggler, and, you know, Stephanie used to come to the ring with me, and did it at Mania, and so you're all copying me, and he says the guy copies him the most. The guy claims to be the best in the world, CM Punk. CM Punk comes out and stares at him, and you think that now you're going to have these guys verbally debate, a spar on the microphones, and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. Instead, something else happened that was also great. Again, no talking. Punk just walked up real, real close to him, dropped his microphone, took the title belt, raised it right over his head, saying, basically, I'm the best in the world, this says it.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to say anything else. And Jericho just looked at him with disdain, right? And then Punk turned around, turned his back to him, opened his arms up, and stood there.
Like, to no reaction.
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
no, to no reaction.
Exactly.
What do you mean exactly?
Well, this is the thing. He turns. He's like, go ahead, Jericho. Hit me. Come on. You're a man. Hit me. I'm giving you a chance with my back turned. And Jericho's such a cowardly heel, even with his back turned, if the guy thinks it knows it's coming, he won't do it.
Nobody
cared. And I
cared.
Thought that got over. I thought that was awesome.
You liked it. Nobody in the crowd cared.
Maybe they didn't get it. Maybe they didn't. You're right.
Well, if they didn't get it, then...
Maybe it was too subtle. I thought they got it.
No, they didn't, because
they didn't cheer.
No, they
did
cheer.
No, they didn't. No, they did. He turned and he stood like that. And then he shrugged his shoulders and started to walk out.
He cheered. He pumped his thing to try to get him to cheer. There was no reaction to that. And it was just ridiculous.
You didn't like it?
Jericho come out, cut a Jericho promo, fine. Punk come out, did his mock of Jericho and walked away fine. And I said, Jericho wrote that because it was, look, I don't talk now. I don't talk at the beginning. And now my first conversation, you come out and you don't talk. And now
Jericho's yelling, you're not talking? You're not talking?
Yeah, now it's a full circle deal. And it's like, all right, fine, whatever. I just, you know what?
I like that part because, like I said,
they better have a great match at Mania.
No, but to me, I think it did get over because I think it gets over. That's how cowardly chicken shit that Jericho is, and that's how confident and courageous Punk is that he turns back to somebody still thinking he can take him. That works. Now,
it may get over. It was not over.
I see. I think it works. I think sometimes just the crowd doesn't react. Sometimes the crowd's like, oh, that's cool, but they're silent. And I just think that's what I said. I didn't pop huge, but I went on the couch, I'm like, I like that. And it's a kind of a quiet thing. And it is a quiet moment. That doesn't mean it doesn't work. And I am a little disappointed with Jericho being a heel again, because I said really what he needs to do is come back and be a babyface. I still think that because of his 15 years in the spotlight, probably like 12 of them as being as a heel. Like,
yeah, but there's no time. I mean, there was no time. If he was going to fight Punk at Mania...
I know, that's the thing. I would like to see a 2 to 3 year prolonged run for Jericho as a babyface, because we haven't seen that. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I think
as long as it's like 18 months or something like that, 15, 18 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not enough for me. And I'd love to see him as a... I think that would be different, and that's what I'd like to see out of Jericho still, but... Still, I trust these guys, and I trust that this angle will get over. But yeah, I mean, we don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad. But going out of Elimination Chamber, no idea what's going on with the titles.
No, and that's the thing, right? So I mean, it's getting cloudy. I mean, so we'll be able to You know, we'll know better after the chamber, obviously. And I would assume that the way you do things is on. You know what? Actually, that might be the hook for that that live SmackDown that they're going to do on the 21st.
That's where Sheamus announces.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, I would make that my hook, I think.
Yeah.
For this show. So, but you know, other than that. So, what else? We talked about. We were going through all these stories. No Brodus Clay tonight.
Yeah, which is strange.
No,
I don't like that. But
yeah,
the problem with Brodus Clay is
maybe he'll be on SmackDown, right?
I'm sure he will be. But the problem with Brodus Clay is they debuted the character. And now you need to keep on having him out there and keep on winning squads.
To run it out of jobbers.
Well, I don't think that's an issue. I mean, well, you got Tyson Kidd, but here in Calgary when we saw him August 25th, at that SmackDown taping, he beat a local guy. I mean, he could just start beating a local guy. It doesn't really matter. The squash matches. But my point is that there's nobody who is a legitimate opponent that you build him to for Mania. There's nobody I can see, oh, that's the perfect opponent for Brodus at Mania. Sure as hell isn't going to be Drew McIntyre. They taped that, but it edited it out.
Right.
And that is a poor idea. So, I mean, that's kind of my problem is you don't have that.
What about Cody?
Maybe. I don't know. Cody or Barrett, maybe. But they don't feel like the right guy to me. So, I mean, that's it. But, I mean, if you are going to do that, you need to start laying those seeds now, too. And he needs to continue to be on TV every week.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about now that we've... Well, okay, let's move on to... Let's just quickly talk about what they did with the Divas. Because I think we're hoping that Karma's going to be there for Mania to take on Beth.
Yeah.
But they seem to be... They were having basically a superstar feud between Natalya.
Why are we talking about the Divas?
Because I think... Because I want to talk about Karma.
Okay.
Because there's the thing is that you're kind of building a superstar, or they had a superstar feud between the two second-generation guys, or girls, the Divas, the Tamina.
Right.
And Natalya. And tonight you had kind of just the storyline is just basically Tamina won for the babyface side, and she really impressed Beth, and now maybe you're sowing some.
Well, and then the look on Natty's face was like, what are you doing? Like, almost like a look of jealousy or whatever. And it's,
yeah, just get quickly your comment on that.
I don't care.
Okay.
It's the Divas. I honestly, I mean, Beth, if they do Beth and Karma, you know, good, that should be, that's
what if they do, what if the build is to, Karma can't be there because she's still going to be on maternity leave, what if the build is to Natty and Beth? Well, that's all I'm asking. That's kind of my,
whatever. Natty, no? Natty farts.
Natty, that
who
is
cares?
True. That is her gimmick now.
Who cares?
Okay.
So.
All right, I think that could be a potentially cool match, too, though, at Mania.
Fuck, whatever. 5 minutes? Yeah, woohoo.
Yeah, that's Mania.
No,
it'd be 4 hours.
Who cares?
Yeah, well, tonight, that's another weird thing about
if
Raw.
If you booked it, or I booked it, or Scott D'Amore booked it, fine. It doesn't really matter.
Okay, all right, that's cool.
Like, even if Karma's in there, everybody will be, you know, whacking their dicks for that. It's like, they're going to get 5 minutes.
Well, she is hot.
So, fuck, like, calm down. Like, it's not going to be a good match no matter who fucking fights at Mania. Because they're
okay.
Going to get 5 minutes.
All right, let's move on to this then. Raw tonight, forget about the overrun. It didn't even go 2 hours.
I was
going to
say, yeah, it was 3 minutes short.
What do you think of that? That was weird.
That was really strange, because we were kind of a little bit on the DVR delay, and, you know, catching it a couple minutes late, and then fast-forwarding to commercials to catch it up live. And it's like, all of a sudden, I'm like, well, you know, what the, you know, I just, you know, I didn't really, I thought that my clock was wrong, or, like, there was still...
Yeah, I did, too.
You know,
I was like,
what the fuck? And no, but it was, like, and then I looked at the thing, and it was, yeah, literally, like, an hour and 57 minutes or whatever.
I think the problem was, what happened was, early in the night, about an hour in, John Cena and this NASCAR driver, I can't remember his name, Blake Kirk or someone
Carl
like that.
Edwards? Kale Edwards? Edwards.
Edwards, or, I don't
Blake
know.
Blake Norton?
I don't give a fuck. But the point is that this guy, he met him in the back, and, and Cena said to him, hey, you want to go to the ring? And they started walking to the ring. Now, my guess was that the final segment was supposed to be him in the ring with Kane, but he got lost, obviously, on his way, because he never showed up in the ring.
So my guess is that
when that happened, they had to end the show early with the backstage segment with Kane threatening Eve with some terrible acting, because Cena never got to the ring. Cena never had a match, never had more than this 90-second backstage segment with this NASCAR dude. They basically said, hey, you want to go to the ring? They're like, yeah, let's go to the ring. And then never showed up.
Now,
I don't think that Cena's the smartest guy in the world, but I don't think he's the dumbest either.
I think
he can find his way to the ring.
Well, we should mention two things, okay, with this. Is that Hunter mentioned that Cena and Kane at Mania or at the Chamber will be in ambulance match?
They had heard the rumor of a last.
Or that was Laurinaitis mentioned it, right?
Yeah, we had heard a rumor of a last man
standing, but
this was worse.
Yeah, this is going to be an ambulance match. Also, what that Kale Edwards jack off was there to do was to say that John Cena was going to do the ceremonial green flag at the Daytona 500.
Which is actually a pretty big deal. Daytona? Aldo Montoya.
The Portuguese race of war.
It is a big deal.
Yes.
Actually, it legitimately is. So that is actually a pretty big deal for him to be doing that.
It is.
It's a good spot for him. But, again, it's weird that you don't really do anything with Cena. No mention of Zack Ryder once. Of course, he's at home with a broken back. Kane broke his back.
Yeah. Made him humble. Put him in the camel clutch.
Did he fuck his ass? Kane fucked his ass. And broke Zack Ryder's back.
Broke his back.
Humbled the motherfucker.
Made him humble.
Excellent. Now, can you just click on the news there for a second? I thought I saw a news story that I'm just curious about.
The Jews?
Because we're talking about the lack of depth and how they had to use Kofi. I think I'm seeing something about an injury that occurred on Raw, and I'm just wondering where is it going with this here. A legit injury. Did you see that?
Oh, too legit. R-Truth injured on Raw.
All right, and we're getting this from the Observer website. We might as well tell the truth.
He was injured in a six-way match, did a flippy dive on The Miz. The Miz is supposed to catch him, went too far, left The Miz, didn't get there and catch him, led back first on the mats and the floor, not to be helped to the back. We are awaiting details, and then there is another injury on Raw. Eve Torres suffered a broken nose. Wow. From Kane? Oh, no, from Beth Phoenix in the Divas match we flipped through.
Which means that thing with Kane must have been taped earlier because that was a close-up on her face the whole time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, I think that would be the case. But and that's how Raw ended. I mean, we looked and we thought, wow.
Kane threatening her. Kane saying, I have hate coming out of every bar part of my body.
I'm afraid of what I will, or I'm afraid of me or something.
And Cena starting to embrace the hate, but he's not quite there yet. Because the Cena that we saw backstage cutting jokes with the NASCAR guy really seemed to be embracing that hate.
He really did. I mean, he seems scared about this.
Yeah.
That continuity is so important.
Yeah, it is. But, if Truth is too hurt, who do you put in? Do you throw Swagger in because he's the IC guy? Do you put in Foley because you can hide him in that match? In the pond?
I don't think you can really hide him, though, is the thing.
You don't think they hid Nash?
Well, but that was even, I mean, that was a better Nash than, you know, than now. I don't know what as I said, I mean, I'm obviously then, Christian's not ready to come back.
They say right after Backlash now is what they're saying.
Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
They canceled Backlash when Joey left the broadcast.
For my sake.
Brodus is there.
Actually, they're saying right after Elimination Chamber, I should think, is what they're saying.
Well, okay, well then what's wrong with if you're going to hide them, then why not right at Elimination Chamber? If that's the case, then that would be what I would do.
I do think that is the latest word, is that he'll be back right after the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Or you throw, like, a double-duty slot with whoever the winner of the, you know, Cena-Kane thing is, Because then you can kind of have an out. Right?
Well, Cena's got to win this match pretty decisively leading into. I mean, I don't know. The funny thing is, I guess
he would have to pretty decisively win, you would think,
right?
He's
got to face The Rock, right?
And yeah.
They did not push The Rock and Cena tonight except for showing the video for Cena again and highlighting a few of their,
which is
not all of them, but highlighting a few of their Twitter comments.
They were showing Twitter things on the screen and saying different quotes than what they were showing. So they weren't reading the ones they were showing. They were reading different ones, which is stupid. Also, they showed the same goddamn Cena video when there's a new one out that's equally as good as the first one, but we've seen the first one, and there's already another one out on your fucking website to show that one.
They got to save that, I guess.
Yeah, for what?
I don't know.
Fuck.
It's not like they can make one of these every week. Oh, wait.
Stupid. But yeah. Anyway, and then they showed a little bit of The Rock on Jay Leno, where they were talking about wardrobe malfunctions like it was 19 or 2007 or whatever the fucking Janet Jackson year was. That's current.
Earlier. Yeah. All right, well, what about the other storyline? Is kind of Laurinaitis? He's not fired because he they might find out tomorrow. Might be announced tomorrow whether or not.
Tomorrow
he's
morning,
fired.
So it's like tune into WWE.com. They didn't actually really, I don't think, push that too much that I heard. So you should go to WWE.com to find out tomorrow morning. But it very well could be the case. The funny thing is that they probably will have decided and announced something Tuesday on their website, tape something different Tuesday night, and then change their mind next Monday. So
that sounds like their plan, yeah.
That's
typical.
Probably where they're going with that. But, yeah, who knows? I mean, I think it's too soon to get rid of Lauren. I mean, I was thinking, okay, it's time to get rid of Lauren Endis and move somebody else in. But I don't until after Mania. I think it's time to sort of, then you can kind of.
Because you haven't had the culmination of Laurinaitis and Punk yet. And
yeah, you did.
Match.
You got that the Raw before the Rumble. To go to sleep. There is no culmination of that. And really, since the Rumble, they haven't had really any interaction other than the na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, fine.
It's really strange tonight. You don't get Cena in the ring. You don't really get Kane and Cena. You don't feel like you say you get a mention of Zack Ryder.
You get... Cena's on his way to the ring right now.
He's probably almost there.
Almost there.
Yeah.
Why don't they just take that car? I thought Bob Holly was back.
I was hoping.
I was too.
Thurman Sparky Plug.
Now it's the Hall of Fame.
That's right. But,
Coco's in. Bob Holly is... Bob Holly is the Attitude Era's Coco Beware.
It's true. Well, Crash Holly's dead, so you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was Frankie.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, he weighed over 400 pounds, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So anyways, I mean, I don't really...
Actually, D'Lo Brown would be like Coco
Beware. I don't think tonight was a terrible show. I don't think last week was a terrible show. They're pretty good. The thing is, though, I'm not really excited except for one angle, but I'm so excited for that that I feel pretty good about the product because I just really love what they're doing with the Triple H and Undertaker build so far. It has me intrigued.
It has
me interested in the general product.
To me, I'm intrigued in that. I have no doubt I will be intrigued in Rock and Cena because it's The Rock. Well, I mean, and regardless, The Rock will be back and it'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
The Rock will come back. He's back for whatever, the last 5 weeks. That will be entertaining.
Yeah.
Taker, Hunter. Jericho and Punk will be good.
Daniel Bryan is great.
Oh, Daniel Bryan is great. But the thing is with me and that is that, I kind of question what they do or where they go. Because, I mean, to me, I think... To me, it's a three-way.
Really tough to get
to me, it's
excited.
A three-way dance with Orton, Sheamus, and Bryan. And I think that's okay if you do.
Again,
one.
It depends on. Then you need something for show. You need something.
Yes, you do. Shaq.
Well, I mean, I'm not seeing it now. And also, I'm wondering about
a tag show and Shaq against like
usually.
Sheamus
I mean,
what time was
Nookie showing up last year?
Oh, God, it was...
How close to Mania was it?
A few
didn't
weeks
she host
ago.
Or something? Like,
yeah, she was a celebrity thing. I mean, you got to remember,
Like, are they going to have
all of March? And you're not going to, I mean, even back in the good old days, you didn't announce every match at once, right?
No, I'm just saying, though,
but you could do one thing where, you know, as I said.
I'm not even talking about Shaq. I'm talking about a celebrity being there. I just don't see who they'd have. They got to have some celebrity involved.
They should have a movie star, maybe if he wrestled. Who do you think he could wrestle against? Maybe John Cena?
Well, right now I'd like you to go fuck yourself.
And then you have Shaq, right? And I think that to me is the equivalent of
Shaq coming, but we'll see.
But I mean, even if you do a tag with Show and Shaq against, I would do Wade Barrett, and you could throw somebody else in there, The Miz, right? Why not? But then again, then you've got those guys all covered off. I don't know about Mark Henry if he's going to be out. You've got Christian to kind of think about if you do this.
Well, you got Money in the Bank this year, right? So, I mean, that's 8 to 10
Maybe. But I think the gimmick with Money in the Bank is if you put in, like, well, then I don't have Miz, right? Or, fuck, for that matter, Barrett. So I don't know what the fuck you do, right?
I told you, Nash and Khali.
There you go. That works. They all get their paydays. But, no, I mean, you either
well,
do
no, how about Kane? Legit, you could put Kane in there and somebody else.
That's true. You
Kane
could
and
do.
Collie. I mean, yeah.
Not Collie, but.
Well, whatever. You can do Kane and somebody. And you need a role.
You
for
could
Kane.
Even if, do if he can gut it out. You could at that point do Mark Henry, right? And that way he gets his
Kane
payday, and he's
think,
in a tag match, so he doesn't have to be.
You know
in
what?
There.
I think Kane and Henry versus Show and Shaq would probably work for a Mania match.
Yeah,
that's actually pretty good.
There you go.
Anything else you want to talk about? On this, we should talk a little bit about the announcement for the Hall of Fame.
Mike Tyson, yeah, we didn't get Iron Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet. Speaking of that, you know when I said that that opening video where they had Taker was reborn.
Yeah.
That was the type of thing when I thought about Mike Tyson, because that's the Vince that I know with the baddest man on the planet when he introduced
You're
him.
Iron
Mike Tyson. I used to know. I was like,
yeah.
Hilarious. But Mike Tyson goes into the Hall of Fame.
He's gonna puke.
He's gonna puke. But yes, they make movies, pal. But
then they're all movie stars.
Who inducts Mike Tyson in? I assume that it's going to be Austin, is what I figured, because that gives Stone Cold Steve Austin something to do WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to see him as a ref or anything that way, or an enforcer. I mean, not this. I mean, especially if there's a possibility of him doing something.
How many people have inducted multiple times? I mean, Kane has inducted twice, I believe.
Oh, made speeches to get people going.
Yeah.
Kane inducted Pete Rose. Kane inducted Drew Carey. Right.
I think so. Yeah.
So.
Great Mania celebrity Drew Carey.
Yes.
It's amazing. He's never been it.
To promote that thing he doesn't do.
Yeah.
Actually,
he was on a Royal Rumble, but at the time he was a TV star, but they didn't announce it. He just showed up that night during the show.
That's right.
They never promoted it at all. A lot of eyes.
I think, did they not promote it on Sunday Night Heat at the time?
Oh, maybe they did.
Which
used to get a four back then. I'm sorry.
Hey, that used to get a higher rating than fucking Raw does now. So there's
not at that point, I don't think. But
maybe not. But at one point it did. But no, maybe not at that point. But yeah, how many people have done multiple? Bobby Heenan, of course, inducted a few people along the way.
I'm just thinking. I mean, I don't know if you want to, how many times you want to burn through that Austin.
Well, Austin inducted Brett, right?
Yeah, he's already inducted
I don't
Brett.
Think you need to burn through. When you talk about, I would rather burn through his Hall of Fame appearances that at this point isn't set to air anywhere other than possibly the DVD.
You got to air live on the internet, on your website at least.
Well, maybe. I mean, I would think you save it for the network for the first time ever on broadcast television.
Don't get me wrong. When the network launches, I'm looking forward to watching the Hall of Fame 2012 through 2017.
Yes, that is going to be very, very good. but I think they used to put some of them on the hall on
the WrestleMania
web.
And some of them. Yeah, they but should do that. They should stream it live.
I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be very good, but I don't know that they will, but they should.
They should.
And it's weird again. Well, last year it aired on Monday.
That's right.
Because I remember Shawn Michaels saying, oh, this is the first time we've ever gone live. Because Shawn's on.
Right? Yeah.
But, I mean, talking about the first time someone's inducted multiple, or done the induction multiple times, and Ric Flair's going in twice.
Yeah, good point.
He pawned his ring. His first
it just seems to me like you don't need Austin there, so I don't know why you use him. But you're right. You just put up.
What do you mean you don't need? It's just that added star power.
There is nobody else. Shawn Michaels could induct him.
Yeah.
I really struggle for anybody else. Like I said, I can't remember who it was.
Don King.
Who it was. Yeah, that's fucking happening.
That would be awesome. You imagine that? He was the most stupendous, outrageous motherfucker. He'd just be Don King is awesome.
Yeah, and they're also really good friends.
They are.
Yeah.
Robin Gibbons could induct him.
I said Robin Gibbons probably could. What's he doing? But I can't
Who'd
really
he ever
think
beat?
Who'd he ever beat?
Mike Tyson. Buster Douglas.
He's still alive.
Could do the induction. I maybe.
He could be another celebrity. He could be in Evander Holyfield. He could be one of the guys from The Hangover. If they could do that, that would be a great get for them.
I just figured it out.
Who?
Mick Foley.
Why?
Because he only has one ear.
I'd like to see Zach Galifianakis.
That would be great. Yeah, from The Hangover.
Who's
that
beard is better, Zach or Zach Galifianakis? Is that his name? Or
Zach
Daniel
Galifianakis,
Bryan?
Yeah. Daniel Bryan, I told you. Zach Galifianakis' beard is better. Daniel Bryan's beard would have been better if he kept his promise to not shave until
Mania. Mike Knox's beard was awesome.
It was pretty good, but I think Galifianakis still...
All right, I'm not so sure, but...
What about Bruiser Brody?
That was a hell of a beard.
That was a hell of a beard.
Yeah.
All right, but that's it. So we've got Mike Tyson as a celebrity, someone we overlooked. The other person we overlooked in talking last week, possibility that I think would be Paul Bearer.
Yeah, Paul Bearer is somebody, I can't believe we didn't bring him up, actually.
Yeah.
We're talking about managers. He should be the manager to go in. He should definitely go in. And you know what? He's had a rough time of late with his wife and everything like that, passing, suffering from cancer, I believe it was, and that type of thing last while. He would be, the thing they should do with Paul Bearer is they should put him in the Hall of Fame and then get him on the Legends Roundtable and do a few shows with him.
Yeah.
He's really a really interesting interview and stuff, too, and a lot of history. And just
perfect. You think of everything, everybody.
And, you know, Kane can induct him.
Yes, and that is true. Kane could be the one to induct him then.
Yeah.
That would work.
But I wonder if Kane will still be inducting people now that he has his mask again, actually.
No, who cares?
Mick Foley could induct him. Mick Foley was managed by him, too.
That's true. Vader.
Good.
You know.
Vader should be in the hall. But,
Yeah, he should.
Absolutely should. All right.
But I think that might be it.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say, anything about TNA you want to say?
Nope.
It's true, though. You know what?
No buzz.
No, I mean, even though they have some people on the top of the card I have some interest in now, they haven't had the goodwill built back up yet for me to care about the company yet.
Well, no, and again...
I mean, that's how I feel.
And Mania is coming.
Yeah.
And I'm just in Mania mode, and it's like TNA, maybe when their cage thing, that lockdown, what is that, May? Maybe then I'll turn towards that or look towards that, because it'll be like, you know, do I look at lockdown or do I look at Over the Limit? Well,
I do have one subject for you.
Okay. Did you hear Mark Haskins was back?
Wonderful.
I wonder if he wore that coat.
I've kind of felt ever since they've announced Cena versus Rock.
PETA is mad.
I've kind of thought since they announced Cena versus Rock, since the moment they announced it, that the Cena was going over. Should Cena go over, or
no.
Will he go over? What do you think now?
Actually, I do. I mean, I guess it depends on if there's serious. I mean, if there's serious consideration of turning Cena heel, it's a no-brainer that he goes over, right?
Yeah.
I think it's practically. I mean, you talk about conventional wisdom, to me, and it's part of what Cena's been saying all along. It's his whole issue here. He's around, Rock isn't, right? See, you put over the guy that's there on Raw, right? Or on Raw. I think on one of his tweets he said, I know where I'll be on April 9th, right? A week after the day after Mania, right?
Yeah.
That I know where I'll be, right?
Yeah.
And so to me it's like, okay, well that's fair and that's what you do. Miami leaving on a high, right? It's WrestleMania, they always leave you on that feel good end of things, right? The baby face generally always goes over at the end. So even last year when a heel won, The Rock stood tall, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
So that was the feel good at the end. So I don't know,
it really is tough. You know what? Like I said, I thought it was a foregone conclusion, and you make a good point, but I'll say a couple of things. Number one, I think The Rock's still going to be around, and I don't think this is his last match.
No, I don't
so
think
so. If he's going to have another match, and if he's going to have another match with Cena, shouldn't that next one be the one where Cena wins? If there's going to be a rematch a year later or 2 years later or whatever the hell it is, I don't think this is his last match at the point. The other question is, another thing I'm going to bring up is this. If Cena wins, we riot.
Right.
I really think that the factor of how pissed off the fans would be if Cena won is so strong that I'm not sure it's a good idea. I think people might hate him forever, just like somebody might, they might hate the wrong person who beats Undertaker forever, you know? They might hate him forever and even worse. But also just, literally, they might riot. Like, you know?
Well, they are in Miami.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of Cubans.
Yeah. The Cubans riot? Because I've been to Cuba, and it was really beautiful.
Was it? I meant the cigars, awesome, is what I meant.
Oh, yeah. I brought you some, remember? Gave you some?
That's right.
Yeah.
Smoked them like your mom. She was with a Cuban too at the time. It was weird, but
that's her pimp
moist. But I think that I could see that point that there could be. I mean, I don't know that there'd be a riot necessarily. I don't know that it's.
I don't think. Okay, let's say the riot is the equivalent of what happened at Hogs Wild. Hogan, when he turned heel, and garbage litters the ring. I don't know
Bash
if you want...
Bash the Beach.
Bash the Beach. What did I say? Hog Wild?
Hog Wild, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bash the Beach and garbage littered the ring.
Right. That's fine.
I don't think that is fine. At the end of Mania, I don't think that you want that to be your image, is the crowd pelting garbage.
If it's powerful. If it's powerful, sure.
If it's SummerSlam, sure. If it's Mania...
No, I think... But as I said... If Cena is going heel, okay, then yes, that's fine. If Cena's going heel, if Cena's going to come out on Raw the next night and say,
I thought maybe they were leading this Kane thing for him to go heel, and then I saw him tonight with the NASCAR guy, embracing the hate.
Well, no, and that's fine. I'm just saying if. That's all I said is that's fine if. And then we're just throwing out the hypothetical there is that if... If he's going to go heel, then if he's going to come out on Raw the next night and said, you people don't care about me, well, the fact is, I don't care a heck of a lot about you.
And you can kiss my ass or butt?
Yeah, the people of the United States of America kiss my ass. But, no, I mean, if that's going to happen...
Is he going to tell him to stick it?
Maybe. Stick it, brother. The New World Organization. But I just think if that's the thing, then that's an image. You know, they talk about iconic images that you go back to in wrestling over and over. Hogan slamming Andre, and the blood dripping down Stone Cold Steve Austin while he's in the sharpshooter.
Eddie and Chris hugging.
You know, who?
I'm sorry, Eddie and a guy who didn't exist hugging.
Oh yes, Eddie and Chris hugging. I didn't hear what you said. I heard Auntie M. I was like, what? There's no place like home. In Georgia.
Eddie
Chris
tonight.
Was a moment.
Oklahoma tonight, JR.
No JR. 7,000 people there in Oklahoma, but no JR.
Yeah.
Well, he was there, apparently, just
Didn't get any million.
But, I mean, I think of those moments, and I think that that could be a moment.
Did this feel like a show, like a Nitro show, where they're literally writing it as the segments were being shot? They're still writing it in the back?
What, tonight or Mania?
Yeah, tonight.
No.
No?
No, because... Because
CNN didn't show up. That ending.
Oh, that
weird.
Stupid thing. Yeah, I don't understand that at all. That was Nitro-rific.
But anyways, back to the Cena thing. If Cena's going heel, you think then you can do it.
That's,
the right
that's what I do, yeah. Then that's your moment you go back to and you can put to it. But if not, you know, then no. So.
Okay. All right, I do think that's probably the last thing for this particular episode because you got to get up and go to work.
Yeah,
I
got to work tomorrow.
Let's.
We have to watch more wrestling still too. Actually,
yeah, we actually have
to finish watching that round table. Yeah,
that's
so
awesome. Holy crap, is that?
I know.
So yeah, we'll be back with more stuff. But first off, we're going to go out with a couple of funny Addy stories.
Oh, there's a couple of funny Addy stories.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why don't you tell yours?
No, you tell yours.
No, you know, mine. Trust me, is the main event.
The showstopper. Well, no, what was my story? Oh, when we were talking about He-Man.
Yeah.
Because we were watching He-Man we saw the DVD box set of He-Man Season 1. And I was telling Mo, I used to, when my dad would go out on a business trip, he'd bring back, he had to go for like, what was it, he 6 weeks in a row or 6 weekends, he had to go up a couple hours away.
He sold insurance, right?
Yeah. Well, he didn't sell insurance, he worked for insurance. And he had to go I lived in Ontario at the time, in an outskirt. He'd go to Toronto. He'd have to be there for a couple of days. He'd come back, and he'd have to bring me a comic book. Or then he got into buying me the He-Man toys. Well, the cartoon hadn't been out yet, but there was just these toys around this He-Man. So there was like I had like six of them, and they were just like the main characters. It was like the Skeletor and He-Man and Man-at-Arms, and like just the main core characters, Teela and Evil Lyn. Were the main people, and so on, Beast Man. Those things there. So I had those characters, and then the cartoon come out. I was like, oh, I have the toys. I got to watch this fucking cartoon, right? Well, that's what I said to my mom. I'm like, I got to watch this fucking cartoon.
You were like six.
Yeah. And yeah, I was like five or six, right? And the first thing, you know, it's the show starts, and it's got the bing, and then the music starts, and it's like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the first thing he says is, I am Adam, Prince of Eternia. And I'm like, Mom, He-Man's real name is Adam. And then I was done. Like, I was it. I was just going to watch, like, everything ever. And I owned, like, every toy. And it was, like, crazy in the world.
They probably need to see your facial expression as you go, Mom, He-Man's name is Adam.
Oh, fuck. It was, like, the greatest thing of the first, like, 5.5 years of my life.
The most amazing thing that ever happened.
It was. I was like fucking six. It was like the greatest thing ever.
All right. Well, here's my Addy story. And this was awesome. So me and Addy got together we got together for New Year's Eve, right? And the night before.
Well, we hung out.
Yeah,
we didn't
yeah.
get together.
We didn't hook up. No.
You wanted
Your
to.
Your mom was here, though. So I. No, she wasn't. Unfortunately, she was still at my
I house. Wouldn't remember.
No, you wouldn't. So anyway, so we got together and we're hanging out at New Year's Eve, right? And we had taped the Brock Lesnar night from the fight before, both avoiding some spoilers, you know.
The night from the fight before, yeah.
Yeah. So we watched that, and then afterwards, you know, after midnight, we're sitting there.
We
the crowd
all
had been drinking. I stopped drinking somewhere around, I don't know, about, you know, 12, between 12 and 1. And Addy continued to drink. I think he drank
one beer.
Two
what?
Beer.
Two beer.
Did a shot. Anyways, he drank a lot. It's really so anyway, so it's about 4 a.m. now, right? We're watching Xbox YouTube, right?
Oh yeah.
And we're sitting there, and I've sobered up quite a bit, right? And we're watching this, and Addy's like, "Well, put on a Royal Rumble," because Addy's voice gets really high pitched when he gets drunk. If you want evidence, listen to episode 2. So anyways. So he's sitting there, and he's like, put on a Royal Rumble, right? So we're watching this Royal Rumble. It's like the Royal Rumble 91.
91, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so we're watching this, right? And Addy turns to me. It's like 4 a.m. He's completely hammered. He looks at me. There's like 6 guys in the ring, right? They're fighting, and he goes, what WrestleMania is this? Right? And so I sit there, and I go, it's not a WrestleMania. It's a Royal Rumble. He goes, no, seriously, what WrestleMania is this? I go, no, it's not. It's a Royal. Oh! What WrestleMania is, right? So I go, is WrestleMania 5? He goes, oh, okay, right? So he's sitting there watching it, and now a couple guys get thrown over the top rope.
Did
a couple
both
guys,
feet hit the floor?
Both feet hit the floor, and a couple more guys come down. The countdown's on, and he turns and he looks at me and goes, this isn't WrestleMania 5, right? He goes, this is a Royal Rumble, fuck you, I know this is a Royal Rumble. This is a Royal Rumble, fuck you, you think I don't know a Royal Rumble? Fucking Royal Rumble here, right? So he's sitting there, we're watching it for a couple more minutes, and you get to the spot where they build up a bunch of guys, and a bunch of guys get tossed out, right? And now they're back down to like three guys in the ring. And we're sitting there kind of quietly watching about 4:30 in the morning, and Addy turns to me, completely serious, and goes, so what WrestleMania is this?
Yeah.
That was my cue to leave. He was totally serious. So what WrestleMania is this? I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to tell him five again.
It was the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
And it was awesome. Great Addy story. Yes. I have many good Addy being drunk stories.
Bring it in the new year with the 1991 Royal Rumble.
Or no, WrestleMania 5, remember? Yes. Oh, fuck you, Royal Rumble, I know.
Well,
what WrestleMania is this?
Yeah. Well, you know what happened is you left, and I was getting ready to pass out.
You thought I was going to stay over the night. The original plan was to stay over, and I decided to go home because we were so drunk at that point.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Woke up in the morning, and you thought I was still here until like 3 in the afternoon.
Well, no, I didn't even know because I didn't get up till 3 in the afternoon. So I was like, I assumed that you were there.
Are you alive?
I just assumed you were, but then I looked and you, like, the bed downstairs in the spare room, like, you know, was like exactly the same. So I'm like, okay, so I didn't stay over or crash, and I don't know. And so, well,
might be in your backyard.
Yeah, something. So I said, like, oh, you're alive? Okay, good. That's fine. That's all I need to know. You're like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I just, you know, I don't care. I just want to know you're alive. Okay. Like, didn't ask you what you're doing. I said, you're alive, okay? There's no police going to come to my door looking for you. Okay, good. Done. No,
right.
But I, what happened is I passed out, and then like 2 hours later, because I, like, we just finished watching WrestleMania 5, I thought. And,
what WrestleMania is
it? Passed out, and then a couple hours later, I was really pissed off because all of a sudden, my door opens, and it's Brian Knobbs going, do you want to watch WrestleMania 7? I'm like, no, Brian. Fuck it, I'll go over
it. Awesome. All right, we're OUT.
Yeah, we're going to leave on that note. So that's it. We're a good hour, 22 minutes in here. So in the meantime.
Little plugs.
Moe's penis. You can email us, though, also, at Addy@WeTalkWrestling.com. It's Moe@WeTalkPodcast.com. You can go iTunes. Just look at We Talk Wrestling. You can get us all on iTunes, all the shows. WeTalkWrestling.Podomatic.com is the website that hosts the show. So if you want to check us out on that, that would be great. And it's WeTalkPodcast.com is this conglomerate of multiple different podcasting entities, most of which Moe is involved with. So I don't have any idea why you'd want to go there. But you can check
and
him out.
Mo_WeTalk on Twitter. Thank you, Dan, much.
Mo_WeTalk at Twitter. Thank you, Dan, much.
Yeah, that's what
okay.
It is. Okay. All right. Other than that, I just want to ask you one question.
Are you ready?
What WrestleMania is this?
17. That was a good one. Anyway, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good evening.